The sun is sinking in the west. The cattle go down to the stream. A red wing settles in her nest. It's time for a cowboy to dream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 13 of the Goat Locker Podcast, featuring none other than the goat.
That'd be me and Bearcat, my sidekick, my trusty sidekick, also known as Goat Lover.
AKA Goat Lover. That's right. Welcome, everybody. It's been a busy couple weeks. We're looking out the window at spring. It's in full force effect. I've mowed once already in the pasture, so the mowing season has begun. So here we go, this spring.
Hot dog and old boy.
We love spring. We're big fans of spring. So tell us, how about Thelma and Louise? They like spring?
They do. They tell me every morning. I really like spring. Yeah, they're doing good. They're not a whole lot going on with them, really. They're practicing their runway moves, runway trots for the beauty pageant coming up in October. We'll keep teasing that and making more plans for that as we get closer. We'll be setting a date here before long.
I observed the training in the morning, so I had a long way to go, that's for sure. What was going on with Thelma this last couple weeks? It's like she lost half her coat. Why her and not Louise so much?
Yeah, I don't know that. They have an undercoat, you know, for winter, just like most animals do, and hers has been coming out in big clumps, and she looked like she was
homeless.
She looked bad, but it's straightened out. It's looking good, and Louise is losing a little bit. Hers is just not as dramatic as Thelma's was.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It looked pretty rough. She looked like she hadn't had proper care in quite some time.
And we know she's got really good care.
She needed a spa day.
She did.
She needed a spa day.
I just want to talk a little bit about when I went to Minnesota last month.
Mm-hmm.
So I was gone for 3 days and Barry had goat duty. And so Barry implemented a system, as Barry is going to do with anything he does. And it's a good system so in the mornings I feed the goats just a handful of food and I clean up their stall a little bit and then I take them out to the goat yard. And I have to halter them because they'll go, you know, towards the Akuba or whatever it is, whatever else is blooming they want. And I take them to the goat yard and I usually carry some hay with me. And, you know, it's a lot. Two goats on a halter that don't like being haltered and carrying hay. And it's a mess, and Barry laughs at me as I walk past the window every morning. So when I was gone to Minnesota, he's like, here, I figured this out. This is a good way to do this. So you take them to the goat yard, and then you come back, and you get their hay and take it. And they like it when you fluff it up on the picnic table. And so I started doing that, and he was right. They do love it. They, like, run towards the picnic table, and I bring the hay out. And it is easy, and, you know, it pisses me off when he's right. It just always does. But it is a good system, and so I've continued, for the most part, the hay floofing on the picnic table, and everybody's happy.
They like it.
I just had to give you a little,
that's right,
little love for that.
No, they would both stand on that picnic table, and they do, and they just go to town, man. It's like they're...
I even started floofing Red's hay a little bit, see if that made him happier. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, well, they're doing well, thriving.
Yeah.
And doing just fine. Thelma's looking a lot better. She's got her summer coat in.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's good. All right.
Let's see.
How about the Camino? So we continue to prepare for the Camino. Last couple of weeks, we've been deep into the training schedule of March, which is some pretty significant miles, 20 to 25 miles a week kind of deal, and some big hikes. How's that going?
It's going good. Last week, we were didn't reach our goal, but that's okay, too. We were still consistently walking. And
on the total mile. Yeah, total mile.
Yeah, was I feel good about short. That. And we did our, so we're up to eight miler at least once a week. You know, that's our big hike. And last week we did that at the Guilford Battlefield Park, the Guilford Courthouse. I can never remember the name of it, but it was a gorgeous day. I mean, just the perfect, what did you call it? The Chamber of Commerce
Day. Chamber of Commerce Day, yeah.
For Greensboro. And there was something that I noticed when we were walking, because there's a lot of people out because it was a gorgeous day. But, you know, pretty much everybody you pass, you know, that you pass while you're walking, you know, you make eye contact with. Not everybody does it, you know, and you'll either smile or say hey or, you know, want to see their baby or say cute dog or whatever. But I was just thinking how, you know, that's kind of a, it's like everybody's happy. Everybody intentionally wants to be out there walking in the sunshine, enjoying spring. And, you know, everybody feels that. You know, you kind of pass that feeling back and forth. And that's a beautiful thing.
It's kind of a common community.
It is. It is a community. And another one that's very similar is camping. When you go to a campground, it's like all of a sudden you got all these new neighbors and you all love each other. Everybody is there because they love being outside, camping, away from everything. They like campfires, camping food, all of those things. And it's a community.
We all see the value in the space that we're in and the thing that we're doing at that time. So it is a community.
Yeah.
And most of it's pretty good energy.
It is. It's great energy. You know, like, and if I, you know, we probably made eye contact, spoke to at least 20 people that day. I was probably
more than that.
A lot more than that. And that's awesome. So if I stay home, hold up because, you know, I lack motivation or I just don't feel like doing anything, I miss out on that energy. And that's, you know, that's interesting, interesting to think about. And it's also different than, say, grocery store energy. Everybody that's at the grocery store has to be there. And they might be on their way home from work, or they might have a kid in tow that wants everything or is crying and pitching a fit, screaming.
So not the same energy.
Not the same energy, because they have to be there. You know, it's just, it's different.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's more of a task than it is an adventure, if you will. But yeah, I mean, I think about that. I mean, if you go to the farmer's market in Winston, it's the same kind of, you know, good energy because people wanted to go there. They might have a task to do, but they're kind of seeking out that culture, that environment, and so the energy is pretty good, and camping's a good one, all that. And I think the way I would just think about that as well is what do you do on a weekly basis that at least takes you to a spot to get good energy?
That's good, man. You need that at least once.
At least once a week.
As often as possible. But once a week is going to fill you up with some good stuff, with some good energy.
It's essential. It's a really good input. And if the energy that you're getting is from the tasks that you have to do, more than likely it's not going to be that kind of energy. And I think about even in a competitive environment, you know, we've got some family that have got a young man playing baseball collegiately, and I suspect that the energy at a ball field is just amazing, right? Not only just the competitive spirit, but everybody's there to see their teams and so forth. That's a good energy. But just making sure that you get the opportunity to be in an environment that's filling your cup with good energy.
Absolutely.
Good deal.
I like it.
What about, you know, one of the things, we ran into one of our first situations on this 8-miler last week where the plan has been, so we've been working on a scenario where she's taken out more weight on the 4-mile out, or on at least the first half out, just kind of building some endurance on your weight capacity and, you know, just building strength in your knees and so forth. And then at the 4-mile mark, we'll shift some of that weight over to my pack, so I get to carry a little bit more weight on the return 4 miles or the last half. She gets a little bit of a lift on the weight, and we get a snack. It's a break, you know, at the half
Scooby
point.
Snack.
We get a Scooby snack, you know, and so the Scooby snack's been pretty consistent. It's been Gorp. It's been good old raisins and peanuts and maybe a few M&Ms, but it's good, and it's a good break. But the 4-mile mark just wasn't in a nice place. It was just in the middle of the greenway, and there's a loud, you know, facility there, and it wasn't a place ideal to just take a 15-minute break. So I kind of looked at her and said, let's go back about a quarter mile, and then we can take a break there. And I started to get a little bit of resistance. It was a little bit of resistance. But then when I got to the quarter mile spot, it was okay, but I had an idea. I had an idea that another quarter mile would be an epic view. And what happened?
I pitched a fit. It was my second fit. We'll talk about that first one later. But I was so... Barry orchestrates all of this stuff well. You know, he's got systems. He knows. He sees ahead. He's got logistics. He knows what he's going to do.
Got a plan.
And I depend on him. I depend on him totally. And so when he, you know, pushed off the break the first time, I'm like, okay, I can handle that. But the second time, I was like, no, listen. I am ready for a break. I'm ready for some snacks. And I'm not pushing it off. So we did not.
No,
I put
stopped.
My foot down. And I don't like confrontation. And I'll go with the flow. But I was not having it this time. No, not just no, but hell no. No, we're stopping.
Give
now.
Me the snacks.
Give me the snacks. Give them to me now.
If she had a gun that day, I believe that she would have pointed it at me.
I wouldn't have, but it was funny.
It was.
We did see the humor in it.
But it worked out great. We had a great break, and it was a good stopping point. It was a pretty place, and all was well. But we definitely found a new thing on the hike, and that is, okay, you can make some adjustments.
Don't screw with my brakes.
But don't screw with the brakes. And so, point duly noted. So what was the other fit that you wanted to talk about? Because, I've been really working on this. What am I going to do for Lent? What am I going to do to really improve myself, to really challenge myself? And so I'd thrown some ideas out. And
You threw out one idea, pretty much.
Yeah.
And what was it?
Well, I was going to give up the F word.
Mm-hmm. And that was the first fit that I pitched this past week. Because I'm sorry, the F word works well. It's satisfying. I'm sorry if you don't like the F word. I didn't used to like the F word, but I like it now. And if he gave it up for 40 days, I'm going to have to think about giving it up. And I'm not ready to give it up.
She wasn't prepared.
I was not. I'm not going to have it.
Confrontation number two. What we're seeing evolve here is she's getting more and more comfortable with raging against the machine here and pushing against it and not going with the flow anymore.
That's exactly rage against the machine.
Oh. FYI, I am the machine. And so...
And I'm bringing the rage.
She's bringing a rage, so...
So he did not give up the F word. Praise the Lord.
No.
That was all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might be going to hell.
Anyhow, we know that, and it's she's just trying to grip my hand hard as she jumps off into the fiery pits of the abyss. But nonetheless, it was a fun week, fun couple weeks. Great experiences on the Camino training. We're getting closer by the day, and so we've got a 9-miler that we're looking down the barrel at this week, so that should be good. I'm working through some issues and having to make a few adjustments on my own, but for the most part, things are going well, and we're looking forward to it. So,
next
so what's
up.
Happening on the goat front? Golden goat front.
All right. So what I have morphed this segment into is like golden goat energy. Who's bringing golden goat energy? You know, whether that's like a card we've given out or a trophy we're thinking about giving out, or just somebody that's wowed us. But the Golden Goat energy this week goes to Barry, Barry Schoen. So we already talked about, you know, our big hikes. But anything really, Barry is going to orchestrate it. He's going to plan it. He's the master of planning and details. And he knows how to make it magic. We take a break mid-hike, you know, Scooby Snacks, pee break, the aforementioned Scooby Snacks. And afterwards, we usually have a sandwich, like a PB&J and Barry brings some wine, some Spanish wine, so we can toast our efforts. That is Golden Goat energy. An artist does it better than it has to be done. And he makes sure that he makes it special. You know, that is like, that's not a big, huge effort. That is just an effort to make things special. And, He doesn't. He always surprises me, and it's a beautiful thing, and I appreciate that.
I enjoy doing it for sure. It is.
I know you do.
And it was a good one this week. That we ended up in a shelter at the Greensboro Park after our hike, and
on the lake,
right there at the lake, and just had the weather was unbelievable, and you know, in the midst of our lunch, we were blessed with just phenomenal news from good friends, so it just made the energy even that much better, and so it was good. Thank
that
you.
Was awesome.
Thank you. You know I love doing that.
I know you do.
You know I love it. So, what's getting your journal time this week? What are the things that you've been working on? One of the things I certainly admire about the old goat here is that she, each day is writing, just writing. And a lot of that can be thoughts, ideas, issues that pop up, and they may convert into a blog, it may convert into a post of some sort, or it's just, so what is it you've been stewing on?
The thing that popped up was a confirmation bias, and it's probably just because of the political climate in our country, and you know, that we're seeing daily. But confirmation bias to me means, you know, that we want confirmation on what we believe, how we feel, what our values are. We want confirmation. And whatever we're looking for, we're going to find it. You know, social media is basically our confirmation. It's a channel for that kind of confirmation. The people that we're following, our friends, maybe it's a news organization or a celebrity or somebody that we follow, we're going to find that confirmation. And that feels good. And I think that it's really, really important, and it's really, really hard to do, is to question that. You know, just to look outside that box. Consider another view, or just ask yourself, why do I feel so strongly about this, and why do I feel so strongly against that? You know, trying to find common ground is a cure for confirmation bias.
Well, and I think that...
Not a cure, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that we have to be cautious of is if we find ourselves in a confirmation bias mode in most instances, then we're actually not being critical thinkers.
Mm, yeah.
Critical thinking requires you to take in other inputs, to see other viewpoints, and seek to understand that position, not just to acknowledge it, but to seek to understand where that was formed or where that came from. Still doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but you need to think about other inputs. And the guard against critical thinking, one of the things that's going to diminish critical thinking is confirmation bias.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it makes me think about when, you know, in the grain industry and in the work that I've been doing over the last many years, we would talk about, you know, when you had an undesired outcome, an incident that injured somebody, or you lost quality in grain, or you just had some sort of undesired outcome. It was easy for you to immediately kind of see the people that may have been intimately involved in that event, the people that were physically there, and begin to assign blame. And then as you started your investigation with the idea that Vicky was at fault for this, confirmation bias will lead you to find what you're looking for to support your assumption. And next thing you know, you will have 2 or 3 or 10 or 12 pieces of evidence that will confirm your bias. Critical thinking, on the other hand, is you've got to walk into that avenue with fresh questions, and can there be other inputs that could have had an impact? And that is a hard thing to do.
It is a hard thing to do. But, you know, it's worth doing. Unless we just want to stay in our tribes, stay in our circles, that everybody believes the same thing we do. and believe that, you know, anybody that doesn't believe that is wrong or whatever.
Yeah, and look, I mean, through critical thinking, you may end up in at your initial assumptions, and there is a bit of confirmation that takes place on that, and that's okay. It's not to say that confirming your beliefs or confirming your values or confirming your assumptions is wrong. It's just, well, I think what you're saying more than anything is don't give up critical thinking in that process. Yeah. Make sure that you're at least seeking other input, and more importantly, trying to understand how did that other input come to be, and what's the rationale behind that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Good deal. I like that. I like that a lot. So what else you been noodling on?
Yeah, I guess the next thing I really wanted to talk about was the three things that I'm always thankful for. You know, Barry gave me a gratitude journal last year for Christmas, I believe. And so I write in that every morning. And the three things I always write down are my family, friends, and our health. And like, you know, just thinking about family. Last weekend we had everybody, you know, under one roof, and everybody in town. We had Sean was in from Denver, you know, Sam was here, and we got to have a meal together and, you know, just spend time together. And, you know, that's just a beautiful thing. Also, you know, in our health journeys, you know, when you're doing all the things that you're supposed to be doing to be healthy, you know, moving your body, trying to eat right, being out, getting good sleep, being around people, you know, being around community or whatever, shit can still happen. You know, it's gonna happen.
And it does.
It will, yep. But you still keep on doing what's good for you.
Yeah, for sure. It was great to have Sean here, and I think those three things that you talked about, family, friends, and our health, are sometimes easy to take for granted. Not something we keep at the top of our list each and every day, but we are reminded, and this past weekend was a good reminder of just how important it is to have family together. It's we do our best to stay connected regardless of the distance, but there just isn't any replacement for being in person.
Getting your hands on them.
Being right there. Yeah. It was awesome.
Getting your arms around them, that's for sure.
We got a really good kind of, it was a short and quick but powerful dose of Sean, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And both the boys, I mean, having everybody together was fantastic. So,
yes.
Good call.
I got a question for you there, Bearcat.
Yeah.
How's retirement going? Let's see, we're more than 75 days in, right?
Yeah, we are. In fact, it just kind of depends. I mean, from the official date, we're right at about 75 days.
Yeah.
From the kind of right before Christmas, we're near 90 now.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's good. It's a complete change of routines. Shifting focus to other things. Believe it or not, we've been busy. I think we've been kind of busy.
Yeah, that's an understatement. That's good. Good to hear you think that too. Coming from the high voltage environment of the grain business.
Yeah, no, it's been. I've had some really good conversations with some of my past team members, many of whom I miss dearly. But it's been great. More importantly, we've been able to attack various things as a team. And we've not been able to do that for quite a few years now. It's been intermittent over those 4 years. Some of that's been by distance. Now it's pretty consistent that we're, you know, sometimes we have to divide and conquer the challenges of the day. Sometimes we're able to do that as a team, and it's been good.
We're a strong team too.
Yep.
But something that I realized just recently about Barry's retirement is it is wearing me the hell out. It's exhausting. I have never been so busy. It's awesome. I'm not complaining, just maybe a little bit, but it is awesome and it's exciting. But I'm not a recently retired COO. I'm a shiny girl. I like goats. I like planting stuff. I like getting my hands dirty and making a mess and usually leaving it for a few days. I like napping. I like dreaming. And I'm digging, you know, hanging out with Barry, Sean, full time.
But it's...
That's a good...
It is... It's a constant go, isn't it? It's, yeah. We do find ourselves, hey, we need to go do this. Hey, we got to go do this. Hey, we got to go do this. We got to get this done. Off the farm, back on the farm, off the farm, back off on the farm.
Oh, my God. I change clothes 3 or 4 times a day, and that's ridiculous. I got workout clothes. I got barn clothes. I got going out to lunch clothes. I got whatever. But it drives me crazy. It's exhausting. I do not like that part. That's why athleisure wear is a very good invention. So I can wear athleisure wear to get the goats out and, you know, brush myself off, and then I can work out. And so, I could go out if it's, you know, still
that's right.
Doesn't smell or anything.
Yeah.
Sorry, anyway.
No, it is. It's been a lot of going, and we've been doing a lot of things. We have done a lot in these last 75 days. There's no question about it. And as we look to spring, as we look to summer, it looks like we're going to intentionally scale that back just a little bit and start to find a little bit different rhythm and spend a little more time on the farm. And we've got plenty of things to do outside that we're eager to get done. And the thing that's been really awesome is as the temperature's been rising, we feel the energy of that, and it's kind of ready to get outside and just kind of be here and to do. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to that.
The bottom line is we are lucky as all get out, and we know that, and we tell ourselves, remind ourselves as often as we can, because it is something to be grateful for.
Absolutely.
We are.
But it's been good. It's been good. So, last closing thoughts?
I think I've talked enough, but the music, so as always, the music that we're... that brought us in, that we started out with, you know, is my brother, Mike Daniel Caudill. But to take us out, we're going to switch it up a little bit, and this is Mama. She recorded a few CDs over the years with my stepdad, Jerry. He was a...
Machinist. And a
steel guitar. Fantastic steel guitar player, thank you. But she recorded some CDs with Jerry and my brother, aunts, uncles, friends, playing guitar, singing along. And this song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, it's always been a favorite of mine. And the version that I heard Eric Clapton sing, I sent it to Mom years ago. And so she recorded it. She recorded this version. And it's gorgeous. So we're going to play the whole thing in its entirety. It's about a 4-minute song, but it's worth the listen. The harmonies are her also. She sings harmony in this. So the woman has an amazing voice, and she is just amazing. So enjoy. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you later.
Yeah, absolutely. And as she's teeing this up for me, unlocking the computer is what I'm trying to get her to do. You know, the fun fact I'll give you is that for a period of time here at Summer Oaks, there was an actual recording studio, and the name of the recording studio is Machined Notes Recording Studio. And, you know, it was just something that Mike and Mama and Papa had put together and actually recorded quite a few folks here. It was quite the deal. So that was a fun little fact about Summer Oaks here is that there was...
It was a great era.
A great era, and there was a phenomenal recording studio right here where we sit to do the podcast. Yep. We're pretty close to it.
Lots of pickings happened in this space, and it was great.
A lot of music. So
enjoy this. This is my mama, Dottie Pirtle.
Yep, and hope you guys have a great next couple weeks, and we'll see you soon.
See ya.
See ya.
Somewhere over the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are dreams that to dream really do come true. Someday I wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, bluebirds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh, why can't I? Someday I wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me, somewhere. Bluebirds fly.